So Matthew 15 from verse 1 to 20. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God says, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother will be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them."
Well, good morning, everybody. Let's pray together as we look at God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths we've been thinking about your cleansing of us through Jesus. As we listen to Jesus's words now about us, please may we listen to what he says, accept what he says, and live in the light of it. We ask in his name. Amen. Well, do have Matthew 15 open in front of you, won't you, as we look through this together, carrying on our series through Matthew. I want to begin by telling you about a newspaper article I read way back last year, earlier on in the first lockdown. It was about wearing masks in supermarkets. It was being debated at the time. It wasn't yet law. It was about to come in, I think. And the article was written by somebody who had health concerns themselves and was taking the pandemic very seriously and thought everybody should wear masks in supermarkets, which was perfectly fair enough. What surprised me in the article was what they said they thought if they saw somebody without a mask, or if someone wouldn't wear a mask. They said, "I think you're a terrible person. I think you're terrible. I think you're awful." It was an example of kind of drawing a line and saying, well, these are good people and these are bad people. It's a tendency we can easily have in our culture to divide people into different groups and then label them. It's usually over some key issue we feel is really important and feel strongly about. Maybe we don't think in categories, good and bad. Maybe we think more of a spectrum. We're a bit more subtle in our thinking. But we still place some people at one end of the spectrum, and we'll place ourselves usually at the better end of the spectrum. What would Jesus say about that sort of discussion? good people, bad people, what you do to get at one end of the spectrum or the other. Well, we get some insight into what he'd say from this very passage. It all starts with the religious leaders of the time telling Jesus and his disciples that they are doing something wrong, something that makes them terrible people. See verses 1 and 2. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." That they've come as some kind of religious Ofsted inspection team from Jerusalem to check out Jesus and what he's doing. And they don't like what they found. You see, God had given a whole number of laws in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, for his people to follow, how they should live. And they were important laws. People should obey them and live in line with them. But over time, people had added extra laws kind of on top of them, which at first were to try and help people keep the ones God had given, like to act as a bit of a guardrail. They were called the traditions of the elders, and that's what they are talking about here. And one of those traditions was about washing your hands before you ate, which of course we're much more aware of today, either because of basic hygiene or because of a pandemic. But back then it had nothing to do with germs or viruses. For them, it was all about being spiritually clean, clean before God, able to approach him. And God hadn't said anything about how you have to wash your hands to be clean, but they'd added it on as one of these extra traditions. And for them, Jesus and his disciples are doing the wrong things. They're the wrong side of the line. They're not obeying the right rules. So how does Jesus respond? Well, Jesus talks about people's hearts. He is bothered about behavior, very much about how people live, but he takes his analysis deeper into us, into our hearts. And he says two things about people's hearts here. First of all, he says we have hearts that avoid God. See verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" They say, "You're breaking traditions." Jesus says, "Well, you're breaking God's commands for the sake of your traditions." And he gives an example in verse 4. "For God said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses father and mother, he put to death." That those were commands God had given. But verse 5, "You say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honour their father or mother with it." See, they'd created this tradition to do with money, and it was where you could declare your money devoted to God. I've given it to God. I've ring-fenced it, earmarked it. It's God's name on it, as it were. But as a result, Mum and Dad, I can't use it to help you with your bills. I'm terribly sorry. I've got to obey God, you see. I'd love to, but my hands are tied. And so Jesus says at the end of verse 6, "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." You're keeping your own rules in such a way that you're disobeying God's commands. They're the more important ones, but you're nullifying them. It is both incredible and profoundly worrying. I mean, these religious leaders were known to be serious about obeying God. But Jesus says they're keeping their own traditions and disobeying God in the process. And we should note on the way through here that traditions and rules we can create ourselves might be helpful, can be helpful in various ways, that there's nothing wrong with traditions. But we need to be very, very careful, because they could become a way of disobeying God while thinking we're doing a really great job of obeying him. And this is what leads Jesus to talk to them about their hearts. Verse 7, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. What did Isaiah say? These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They are hypocrites. They it's like they wear a mask. They look like they're all about obeying God, but it's a show. It's pretend. They're all about lip service. They honour me with their lips. They're always saying the right things. They're always talking about obeying me. But their hearts are far from me. Their heart desire in life is not to love and live for God. Their hearts are a long way from him. And so, verse 9, they worship me in vain. It's all their religious ceremonies and all they do to worship me, it's empty. Their teachings are merely human rules. They're things they've made up, not things God said. This is the particular danger the human heart can face inside religion. You can do lots of things that make it look like you're living for God, that it looks like he's really important to you. But you're giving an impression. You're convincing others. Maybe you're even convincing yourself. But your heart isn't bowing to God. It's avoiding God. It's ducking his call on your life. It's finding ways to avoid obeying his commands. You have a heart that avoids God. But secondly, Jesus goes on to say, you have a heart that produces evil. See verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. See, Jesus backs up from the issue of their traditions to the bigger issue of what defiles you, what makes you unclean before God, so that you're sort of spiritually tainted. That was what the eating with unwashed hands was all about. And of course, the reason they thought washing your hands was so important was it did affect your spiritual state. What you ate and what might be on your hands when you ate it affected your position before God. And Jesus says very simply, no, it doesn't. Don't be stupid. What goes into your mouth makes no difference to your spiritual state. It's what comes out of your mouth. That's what's important. And his disciples come to him, verse 12, to tell him that the Pharisees are offended by his words, but Jesus isn't too bothered by that. He says, verse 13, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted to be pulled up by the roots, leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. He's basically saying, forget about the Pharisees. They don't speak for my Father. My Father hasn't planted them there. They are blind. And if they act as guides to others, they'll just lead everybody into trouble. Leave them. And so Peter asks for more explanation, verse 15. Explain the parable to us. That is the saying about it's not what comes out of your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth. And so Jesus explains. Verse 16, are you still so dull, Jesus asked? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? Jesus is actually very straightforward about digestion here. He says it goes into the mouth, out of the body, and literally into the latrine, into the toilet. What you eat is a matter of digestion, not spirituality. But, verse 18, the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. And he gives some examples in verse 19 and following. I don't know if you've noticed, Jesus actually is working off the Ten Commandments here. Back in the earlier example, he began with commandment number 5, honour your father and mother. And he picks up from there here, verse 19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, first of all, commandment number 6, adultery, number 7, which he then broadens into sexual immorality generally, doing things sexual that God is against, not just adultery. Theft, number 8. False testimony, number 9, broadened then into slander. Yeah, false testimony is saying something that's untrue, usually in like as a witness, but slander is doing that more generally in life. You see, God has given laws about what is right and wrong in his world. And so what defiles us, what makes us spiritually unclean? It is when we defy him and disobey those laws. Verse 20, these are what defile a person. Eating with unwashed hands doesn't. It is doing wrong things, wrong actions and behavior. And in fact, in what Jesus says here, more than just the actions and behavior, the thoughts and the attitudes. Do you see verse 19? Jesus begins by saying, out of the heart come evil thoughts. He goes on to describe actions of murder and adultery and so on, but he begins by calling them evil thoughts. Any actions we have start in our heart and mind, what we think and we feel towards people. And that's where Jesus starts, and he's happy to call them evil thoughts. And those are wrong, and the actions are wrong. And where do they all come from? Verse 19, out of the heart. We have hearts that produce evil. The origin, the source of the stream of all that is wrong, anger, violence, lust, infidelity, greed, selfishness, everything else, it is right in our hearts. We produce it. Rob said earlier, we have rotten hearts. In the language of that newspaper article, we are all terrible people because we all produce this sort of stuff. Now it's not, of course, that we only produce this. We're perfectly capable of doing good things. We can do acts of kindness and love and sacrifice. But Jesus's point is, if you ask where the rubbish stuff comes from, if you ask why seemingly nice people do bad things, the explanation lies inside us, in our hearts. Which is not what our culture would like to think. We'd like to think we're basically nice people who make mistakes. People say things like, I do wrong things sometimes, but deep down I'm a good person. Jesus says deep down is where the problem is. Or we'd like to think that when we do things wrong, it was because of outside influences. I lost my rag, I know, and it was wrong, but it was because of them. They did this. Let me give you a simple illustration here's a glass of water. If I knock the glass, so I spill water, there's water now here. Why did water come out of the glass? There are actually two answers. I wonder if you can think what they are. Water came out of the glass because I knocked it, of course. Water also came out of the glass because the glass is full of water. So somebody cuts you up on the road and you shout in anger. Why did anger come out of you? Two reasons. Because they cut you up on the road. And because anger was inside you. And it came out. The event provides the occasion to bring out what our hearts produce. And so, yes, situations that are more pressured and more fraught and so on, we're more likely for things to come out of us that we don't particularly like. But the point is, we don't blame the event. They didn't make us do it. The event produced the occasion to show what's inside me. We'd like to say that only some people have bad hearts. They're evil, not us. Or we'd like to say that deep down we're really good, even if we don't act like that sometimes. Or we'd like to say that outside things are what make us do things wrong. But Jesus says, this is what's inside us. This is Jesus's analysis. Hearts that avoid God, pretend to obey him even when they're not. Hearts that produce evil. And even in trusting Christ, which we'll talk about in a moment, where our hearts have changed and there's a new dynamic at work in us where we can love and obey God, even then this taint is not removed. This is us. Three differences that this makes for us, I think. First of all, honesty. We need to be honest that this is who we are. Rather than thinking we're better, giving the impression that we're better. I remember when a couple of years ago, some of you will know, I was in hospital. First time I've ever been in a hospital, sitting in a ward. Look around the ward. Everyone's ill. You know, we're all there because we've all got a problem of different sorts. No one in the ward will put their hand up and say, I shouldn't be here, I'm healthy. Or at least, of course, sadly, if they did, we'd have to say, no, in fact, you're deluded, you're wrong, you are unhealthy. Church is like a hospital. We're all ill. We're all morally ill. We all have sick hearts. Church is like a hospital. It's not like a school or something where we're going to kind of compare grades and see how well we can all do. No, we all say we're ill. Honesty then changes the feel and the culture of a church. Some churches, unfortunately, can give the impression that, well, we're all really sorted people. And particularly if you're not very sorted and don't feel like you are, you don't feel like you belong, maybe you feel like you'll even lower the standard here. God spare us from that kind of attitude. That's the sort of place the Pharisees were at. That led to outer conformity and giving certain impressions, but no real honesty about hearts. We want everyone and anyone to know that they are utterly welcome because no one is any better than anybody else. And we want to be a place where it's okay to be honest about sin and not pretend. To be able to say in our home groups, you know, I am struggling with anger with the kids because it is hard, as we were hearing earlier. Or that I do say things out of spite, and my heart is jealous. And some things we'll say more privately than others, we'll make judgments on that. But we admit that we have hearts that produce evil. We are honest. And honesty then leads to humility. We don't look down on other people because of what we think they do wrong, because we are aware of our own hearts. We don't deny it's wrong. We just don't look down on them because we know we're down there as well. We don't create a ladder where we start ranking people. They're better than them. I'm higher than they are. Honesty with sin leads to humility with others. And that changes the culture and the feel of a church as well. The elders are reading a book together at the moment. We just started this last week. It's about how the gospel changes, influences who we are as leaders and how we lead together. And the first point was the gospel meant we were humble because we're sinners who can even deceive themselves. And so we don't think we're above others. We don't think we're done in the battle against sin. We don't think we've stopped needing other people's help and encouragement and needing them to speak truth into our lives and so on. Humility. Pray for us as leaders. Pray we would be humble. But then lastly, hope. But Jesus doesn't say this to then say, so you all need to do a little bit better. This is his diagnosis. You know, there are some diagnoses we can get from a doctor. We understand what's going wrong, and then the treatment is kind of in our hands. You know, change your diet, get a bit more exercise, you'll feel better, that sort of thing. But there are other diagnoses that leave us helpless. There's a cancer inside you. No diet will help. Well, this is Jesus's diagnosis. Our culture, of course, will try lots of things that are like diets. Better education, better parenting, better laws, better government. And some of those are better things than others and might, shape life a little bit more, but none of them get to the root of the problem. When it's something deep inside you and you're helpless, all we do is turn to the doctor and we say, is there anything you can do? And Jesus says, yes. The good news is, as we thought earlier in our service, Jesus comes to rescue people just like us. He comes to bring forgiveness for our guilt and cleansing of our uncleanness. He brings it through his death and resurrection to wipe away that guilt and to renew our hearts. And so while we may be sobered by the diagnosis, actually, we are liberated to be honest, and we can have hope because of Jesus. If you've never seen that for yourself, please know here is the heart of the Christian message. Now, we are dirty, Jesus can make us clean. We are guilty because of this, Jesus brings us forgiveness. Find out more about him, turn to him, ask him for that. And if you have done that, know that he continues to wipe away that guilt. He cleanses our consciences, as we read from Hebrews earlier. And he is renewing our hearts. And he will continue to do so until he cleanses us and this whole world from that uncleanness and that evil and that sin. Jesus is our only hope, but he is the only hope we need. Let's pray we would be a church of honesty and humility and of hope, and hold out that hope to each other. Let's pray together now. Father, thank you that Jesus doesn't ask us to pretend or ask us to simply try and be better, but to be honest and accept who we are and what we are, and turn to you and to him for your forgiveness and your cleansing. So, Father, please help us own our own sin, own who we are, not look to justify ourselves or get ourselves off the hook, but be willing to admit and to confess and to know that Jesus cleanses us from all impurity. We pray in his name. Amen.